You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Yeah. yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can, and will do. That's the deep part, brother. Will. Got to have the will. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursday, tomorrow, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Friday at 8 p.m. on Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I'm going to go right to the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, and then I'm going to go to our guest, Brother Ayu Kamathi, the Irritated Genie, for some heavy and heavy information, family. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, Baba Mawali Mubarudi. October 8th. The existence of a mass discontent like the smoking ashes of a burned down house after the fire has been put out will always pretend the danger of bursting into flames again. It's always potent. That's right. And as a firefighter, that's one thing we always try to make sure we don't have is a rekindle. Yeah, man. Once we did our thing, we want to make sure that fire is out. But it happens. Bursting into flames again. Even when we're shut down for simply jogging, even when we're shot down for simply jogging down a street, most of us cannot make the historically simple connection between our extermination and the deranged nature of Yorugu's aspirations to white supremacy. It is beyond their intellectual and emotional capabilities to imagine an inhuman nature which is naturally compelled to see us as a threat which must be permanently removed from their stolen legacy. They remain incapable of understanding that we are one who sees us as one who must be removed from the existence by any and every violent means at their disposal in order for them to pretend that they are capable of loving anything. In contrast, the love of a captive, as sad and repulsive as it is truly a sight to behold. It repeatedly and consistently leaves no doubt as to the true definition of functional insanity. For them, Yorugu can do no wrong. It is their life's mission to prove to those of us who know Yorugu's nature just how wrong we are. However, regardless of the captives,
the captor's unreasoning. Misguided devotion. The rest of us know that our enemies will seek to kill us no matter what we are doing or how we are doing or how we are doing it, and will excuse and congratulate themselves for doing so. We know Urugu and their desperate hatred, a hatred which requires no individual instructions because they are of one caustic, demonic, intrusive mind. We also know through that they will pay in ways that neither their nor their minions' small minds can yet imagine. There's a riot going on that is not being televised. The whirlwind grows. Affirm, I am the smoking ashes. Affirm, I am the smoking ashes. October 9th. Rape was a fact of life on the plantation. At any time and any place, female captives were subject to the drunken or abusive sexual advances of the captor, an overseer, a neighbor, or the captor's son. Few American African women reached the age of 16 without having been molested by a captive male. Kathy Russell, Midge Wilson, and Ronald Hall. Try as they might, Urugu will never be able to finagle their way out of spiritual indictments. Unbeknownst to those who refuse to see the evil in their godlessness, they have no concern for such indictments because they are incapable of seeing any decision-making power higher to them than that does not think of them like that. In their mind, what they have done, regardless of the moral or ethical view affected others may feel about it, is spiritually sanctioned. Their psychopathology, twisted interpretations will extend into whatever future they are capable to manufacture for their world. And if we look closely enough, we will see that fiction is their reality, their only reality, fiction. And if they have their way, that fiction will make them into the masters of the universe they imagine themselves to be. They have planned to facilitate this. Urugu's vision is to create machines that can easily and effectively rape and kill, insert their despiritualized raping, killing minds into them, and then, without potent challenge or objection, externally fulfill their murderous desires, their murderous desires. Still, we know they will pay for what they have done and continue to do, regardless of the indestructibility and immorality of the shield with which they hope to conceal the ugliness of their cruelty. Ma'at is justice. Ma'at is justice. Affirm, I connect real remembrance to continuous patterns in current events. Affirm, I connect real remembrance in continuous patterns of current events. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. It is always a pleasure and an honor to have my brother on the program and to talk about our situation as it relates to the ongoing problem. And that's right, the Jews are the problem. And he wrote a new book, just came out this year, The Psychology of the Jews, Understanding the Jewish Mind. And this is, it may be small, but it's impactful. Brothers and sisters, let us welcome Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genius. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, my brother, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here with another warrior of your caliber. I feel good.
Right on. Well, hey, you know, just like back in Baltimore, man, I'll stand with you, brother, believe me. I ain't gonna let nobody mess with you. That's for damn sure.
I was thinking about that this morning. I said, brother, I wish the people got to see. Let me tell you, all the people that love you, brother, if they ever had a doubt, I'm telling you, when I heard, because I didn't get to see it, I'm up here looking one way, and I heard that voice say, somebody whipped me hard. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, and I'm sincerely mean this. I do pray for you, man. I pray for your protection. I pray, you know, that you continue to gain the insights into all this evilness that is all around us. And I continue that you get it, you know, that you're spiritually connected. Because, man, you are doing a hell of a work against a evil entity that is not just, you know, in this country. This is global. This is global, and it has deleterious effects on humanity, not just us, on humanity. So, yeah, man, this is a hell of a work that you're doing, but I pray for you, man. But you're the right person to do it. Yes, sir.
I'm glad to hear that. Let me ask you this. Have you been aware of the interviews I've been doing with Haiti and what's going on in Haiti right now?
No, I have not. No, I have not. I know that. I know that the Kenyans have, they're on the ground in Haiti. I know the Kenyans are on the ground in Haiti, and I hate the fact that that's happening. I'm not sure if they've been at war with some of the street gangs in, you know, Port-au-Prince or so forth. So, because I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything on YouTube. I haven't seen anything on Facebook. I haven't seen anything in terms of emails that I, you know, that I usually received on what's going on, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you some of the videos. Well, let me put, because I didn't know. I mean, we don't know until we know, but I can give people a better perspective right now of what's going on, because I've had a little bit of insight to what's actually happening in Haiti, and it's totally relevant to what we're talking about here today.
Sure it is.
Okay. So this is what's going on. I didn't know this. You know, there's a guy that they call Barbecue.
Yes, I've heard of him. He's he's like the brother on the streets, and where people look to him, he's one of the warriors on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's one of the warriors on the street, and people, the West is saying that he's a cannibal because his name is Barbecue, and he barbecues people and he eats them. He's a cannibal. But then there were other accounts, so people were trying to figure out what's going on. Well, I've done multiple interviews with him now.
Okay.
And it's shocking what's going on the ground. I mean, and it's not, if I had known this, it would have been in my book. So this tells you how much I didn't even know this.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting. Okay. In Haiti, there's a Jew named Gilbert Biggio. If you put his name in, Biggio, Gilbert Biggio, Biggio. He's a Jew who is the single billionaire in Haiti. He owns the ports, and he owns the Texacos in the Dominican Republic. And so he's a billionaire. They're rich. And what I didn't know, I didn't even know, even when I interviewed General Barbecue, the translator, I end up doing an interview with the translator. He's in the Dominican Republic, but he's Haitian. He broke it down like this. The Jews had a plan to take over the entire both sides of the island. That means Haiti and the Dominican Republic. He said that they already control the economics of both parts of the island. They control the economy. But they wanted the political power. He said they got the political power in Dominican Republic with the new president. He says that he's of Lebanese origin. He's Jewish. And he said they wanted a Jew named Reginald Bulios. Bulios is B-O-U-L-O-S. I looked him up. He is a Jew. I wasn't able to verify for certain that the president of Dominican Republic is a Jew, but the brother said he's a Jew from Lebanese origin. But Biggio and Bulios in Haiti are both Jews. The Jews tried to take Haiti and put Bulios in power, wanted to put him in as president, but the Haitians absolutely refused and wouldn't let it happen.
I say.
So as a result, the Jews said, fine, we're going to destroy Haiti. And they start financing the poverty-stricken regions with the gangs, giving them guns and telling them to wreak havoc on the place. with the desire of them to all murder each other. And they start killing each other, and rapes and all kind of horrible stuff start happening. But they were financing it. And because Biggio controls the ports, that means import and export, well, you can imagine how this stuff can get in there. So now you got these gangs in Haiti, and they armed to the teeth with AR-15s and everything you can think of, and bullets and ammunition to go with it. So this crisis happens. When I'm talking to General Cherizier, who is General Barbecue, he says when Morsi, the last president that was in office, the one that wouldn't let them bring the jabs, wouldn't let them bring the jabs.
Right.
And he said that they had these contracts that somebody was getting $10 million per month. And he said, no, no, we got to start pulling these contracts back and giving this money back to the people of Haiti because we got the wealth. We just giving it all away. Once he did that and said no to the jabs, they came to him directly and said, we'll pay you to kill the President Morsi. He said, I refused. I'm not going to do the dirty job because he was a police officer. He was a ranking police officer.
Oh, Barbecue is? Barbecue's a ranking police
officer? He was.
He was, yeah.
No,
okay.
He was back then. Mm-hmm. And so they came to him to kill Morsi. He was like, I'm not going to do that. So when he rejected that, the way he got the name Barbecue is because his mother used to sell barbecue chicken on the side of the road, and she was like known in that area. Like she was everybody wanted her stuff. And so a bunch of the people in his community were named Jimmy. Everybody's named Jimmy. A bunch of Jimmys, and they couldn't determine different Jimmys. So because his mother did the barbecue, he was a barbecue child, they called him Jimmy Barbecue. He's barbecue. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that name stuck with him out of life. Of course, the white folks took that, and the Jews put it in the media and say he's a cannibal.
Yeah.
Right. So, he said no to killing Morsi. When he said that, they scandalized his name, and then he started, once they murdered Morsi and the violence got worse, he said, forget it. I'm going to stop all of this violence. And so he went out and said, we're going to stop this from happening. So he got a bunch of the people, young people in the street and saying, look, we got to make this stop happening. And then since that time, he's been reaching out gang to gang to gang, sitting down with them saying, look, let's talk. Let's stop killing each other. These people have turned us against each other. Blah, 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 blah. So they now have gone from, he created a group called G9 that was a militant group. But then they had other groups that were militant too. Now they've all come together under one group called Vive Ensemble, which means we live together. And they're like, we're going to put these Jews who've taken over, they call them oligarchs, these Jews, oligarchs, these Syrian Lebanese Jews out of our country and take our country back.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, as we're talking, there is a physical ground war going on. And what makes them so special, this is the only group of people in the Western Hemisphere in the modern times, as you and I are sitting here talking, the United States of America is the most armed civilian population on the planet, and the Jews are running havoc in America, doing whatever they want, stealing money, starting wars. They can do whatever they want. Nobody has lifted a finger to them. Yet in this little tiny place of Haiti, where many people don't even have a pair of shoes to wear, it's the only group of people in the Western Hemisphere that have taken up arms against Jewish tyranny and said they will not take our country from us.
So
I'd like to add on to it because there's other aspects of it that are getting really deep.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a question, you know, you just let me know any moment. But there's so much to it. I'm glad to have an opportunity to tell people like what's going on.
Yeah, haven't heard anything, haven't seen anything. I've heard about barbecue. I heard about the Kenyans coming to Haiti to suppress and in war against the so-called street gangs of Haiti to control Haiti. And of course, the European Jews are always involved somewhere, you know, in some way.
Well, let me go on this.
Okay.
You just said, let's say how they involved. This is where it gets crazy. So the young brother says, the translator, when I interviewed him, matter of fact, anybody, if you want to see this, you can see it for yourself. You can hear it from the proverbial horse's mouth, my brother, the General Trezeguet, and from the brother Jean. So if you go to Rumble and put in Irritated Genie, I have a page on Rumble. It's new, but I only have a few videos, but they're mostly about Haiti. So you can go there and you can watch these interviews with the translators as they're sitting there. We're talking to the general. You can hear all this for yourself. Well, the translator's name is Jean. When I did the interview with Jean, this is what's going on with him. He's in the Dominican Republic, but he's Haitian. And he's saying the Haitians, because they figured out what's going on with these Jews trying to take over the whole island, and the Haitians are speaking out to the Dominicans saying, you can't let this happen. Now, at the top, the Jews are paying the Dominican law enforcement and the people to start gangs that they call groups, but they really like really terrorist groups that are going around. He sent me videos. I mean, I have videos of police throwing black Haitians off of rooftops. I mean, I'm watching this stuff.
In the Dominican Republic?
Right now in the Dominican Republic, this is from, not only did the brother say this to me, but when I went to research it, a lot of it is right articles that you can look up. I mean, it's not like you question, is any of this happening? As soon as he says it, you go look it up, you can find this stuff, right? Like if you go right now and start looking at it, you'll find it. I mean, you can find videos of the stuff they're doing. They're going into hospitals or places where black women are having babies and killing the babies. Like, it's some kind of, but what's happening is this. The Haitians, it's kind of similar on a smaller scale in the moment, but it's intensifying. It's kind of what's happening in Gaza. The Jews want the entire island. They got the Dominican Republic where the people are like Gazans. They're poor. The Dominicans are poor. But the Jews control all of the economy and the political infrastructure now. And they're now inviting Jews to come in and come in and what do they call it when you come into a new country? Immigrate. Mm-hmm. So they're slowly trying to push the Dominicans out, but they're having a problem because the Haitians are speaking out. So now they're getting the Dominicans, paying them, the officers, law enforcement, to kill and otherwise expel the Haitians from the Dominican Republic. So they're sending them out, and the ones they're not sending out, some of them they're killing. So they're like, literally, it's a state of terrorism going on right now in Dominican Republic because the Jews are doing the same thing there that they're doing in Gaza. And the crazy thing, he was connected with, and all of this is like real-time stuff. Like, I'm interviewing with him tonight at 7 p.m., so... Mm-hmm. It's like the things that I'm sharing with you all, I'm getting these things real time as I'm talking to real people that are fighting it, trying to do something about the problem. He's saying he was connected with 200 different community organizations, a lot of them Latin organizations, you know, they're going Latin American or whatever. So we helped them create a petition to stop this genocide that's going on in the Dominican Republic, where they're expelling the Haitians. Oh, I left one part out that's very important. You were talking about the Kenyan troops.
Yes.
I knew that the Jew, Anthony Blinken, in America, had gone over to Kenya, flown over there, and asked the Kenyans to come over here to kill the Haitians, basically. What I did not know, and I actually, after the brother told me this, I went and watched the video. I couldn't believe it. He was correct. The president of the Dominican Republic went multiple times to Kenya, according to the brother, but I have the video where he was in New York sitting down with Ruto saying that we in the Dominican Republic need you Kenyans to come and pacify the Haitians. Pacify the Haitian gang. I mean, he used the word pacify. I need you to pacify the Haitian gangs. And that's what your legacy is going to be. So the Dominican Republic is paying black people to go to war with the Haitians from Kenya and working with them to do that. And the brother said that he was a Jew. And we know Anthony Blinken is Jews. So literally, we see the Jews from America, Dominican Republic, and Haiti. These few Jews in the Western Hemisphere recruiting African people to come over and kill the home of freedom in America, which is Haiti. While at the same time they're doing that, they're expelling Haitians at 10,000 a day. I think they say 10,000 a week. 10,000 a day. 10,000 a week, I think they said. They're going to do 10,000 a week, something like that, getting rid of the Haitian people. And it doesn't matter if you're a Dominican citizen. In other words, if you were born and raised in the Dominican Republic, you've never been to Haiti,
mm-hmm.
but you're of Haitian descent.
Mm-hmm. You got to go.
It doesn't matter. They're still putting you out.
Right. You got to go. And of course, one of the markings, of course, is skin color. So if you can be a Dominican and been born there and your lineage is there, but the fact that you are dark skinned, causing into question your nationality, when you're not Dominican, you're Haitian, you got to go. You know, man, I've been to the Dominican Republic, and then I remember the situation with the Dominicans kicking out the Haitians, and I said I would never go there again. This hatred is just too deep, the way they do the Dominicans. Dominicans be waiting at that border just to come into, the Haitians be waiting at that border just to come into the Dominican Republic and sell whatever they can sell, and then they have to leave before the nightfall back across that border, you know, into Haiti. Man, what you're presenting here, I didn't know this, and now I do. And now, you said you can hear or watch some of this stuff on Rumble. What is that?
Rumble.com. Rumble is like YouTube, but it's not YouTube, and they don't ban you as much.
Okay, Rumble.com. Okay.
Right. And then put an Irritated Genie in the search bar, and you'll see it's like a YouTube page, but it's a Rumble page.
Okay.
And then you'll go there, and you can see the different videos, and you can listen to it for yourself and see the evidence as well.
Yeah. Well, I definitely will be doing that. And family, you've heard it here. Go to Rumble.com / Irritated Genie, and that information will come up, and videos that you can watch and so forth.
And also, just for people to know, when we do them live, they're also on Twitter. If you go to Twitter and put in Irritated Genie or it's at Irritated Genie or at JAT Problem, Jews Are the Problem, JAT Problem, either one, those videos are there as well. It's just more difficult to find them because there's way more posts, but we do those videos. They're available on Twitter as well, but the easiest way to get them is to go right to the video on Rumble.
You said that go to Twitter. So people going to Twitter and JAT Problem.
Yeah, at JAT Problem or at Irritated Genie.
Yep. Man, man, oh man. What a world, brother. What a world.
Yeah, but here's the good thing. It's bad. It's all of its negative sides to it, but there's a good side to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to really think about it. I mean, I say this even sometimes. I talk to these white nationalists. You know, I tell y'all what I've been doing, and it's kind of surreal. The beginning of the end of slavery was with the Haitian Revolution. They're the ones that said, this is not going to work.
Yes.
This is how it's going to end up.
Yes.
And the whites got so scared that if they did that in Haiti, if that happens anywhere else, the whole world balance changes. They shut down the system of slavery. So we can't keep these people in this kind of slave conditions because they'll revolt and they'll win. Haiti proved that it would happen, and they did it. Mm-hmm. And then they launched the rebellion in South America. Nobody talks about that, but Bolivar didn't get Simon, the weapons and the financing by himself. That was funded by Haiti.
Okay,
the
Simon
Haitians
Bolivar.
Are responsible for, South America, the Haitians are responsible for how they were able to get their freedom. My point being, who would have thought in the modern context, with modern weaponry and the modern reality that we're living in and the condition of Haiti, that in the entire Western Hemisphere, the Jews have taken over. There's a Jew shine bomb that runs Mexico now. Ain't even no Jews in Mexico, yet they run Mexico. You got the guy that's bending over for the Jews in Argentina, totally controlled by Jews. In Brazil, totally controlled by Jews. If you look at America, totally controlled by the whole executive branch, Jews. If you look at Canada, controlled by Jews. The entire Western Hemisphere, the Jews have taken over. No one has fought them. The single group out of everybody, it's almost like a movie.
It's Haiti.
It's these group of folks that don't even have a pair of shoes to wear sometimes. Wow. But they say, we want our freedom and we'll fight for it. If you want to fight, let's fight. The only thing they've asked is the Haitians. Listen, brother, y'all got to watch the video to see what I'm saying. I'm not making this up. Brother, the General Cherizier say, look, he, first of all, he has set some tattoos. He has a tattoo of Dessalines on him, and he has a tattoo of Ibrahim Traore. He's real proud of that. He loves Robert Ibrahim Traore.
Yeah.
But he says, the only thing that hurts us, we'll fight for ourselves. He said, we don't have a problem with that. The thing that hurts us, out of anywhere in the world we thought people would try to take our freedom, we never would have thought it would be coming from Africa.
Mm-hmm. The Kenyans.
He says, we are African. And this is the brother in Haiti.
Yeah.
He said, anywhere, he looked in the camera and said, I want everybody out there, and he's speaking in Creole, and then his translator speaks. He said, I want all of you to hear this. He said, anywhere in the world where you're black, he said, anywhere in the world where you're black, you are an African.
Ashe.
Mm-hmm. And this is him saying that. And he said, we never would have thought we would have had to fight them. But he also said this. We love our African brothers and sisters. He said, but we want you to be clear. If you violate one child, you kill one innocent civilian, one thing that you do out of order, then you're going to find out who we are as Haitians. He said, if we catch you alive, it will not be good.
Oh, shit, man.
There's some real serious freedom fighting over here. It's good news, man. It's good news. We just don't know the good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man.
They're fighting. Look, the Haitians are back, standing up, getting themselves cleaned up, stopping the gang violence, stopping the rape, working together, figuring out how to get it along. They armed to the teeth, and they ready for battle. They just need us to help give the correct message and let their voice be open so that they can be heard and people can hear what they're doing and why they're doing it so we know the good news and we know who to be on the right team. That's all.
Well, I know that on the other side of the island, man, they've always were influenced by Europeans, by Caucasians, and now, of course, by European Jews. And, of course, the island itself, particularly the side of the Haitian side, is mineral rich. In fact, there's that one mineral that only Haiti and South Africa have. Iridium. Iridium.
That's right.
And which is, I mean, a serious change because of the amount of wealth that they could afford. Haiti right now could be one of the most wealthiest countries. That island, just that side, in this whole hemisphere. And now, once again, you're saying that the European Jews are in control of Haiti and the Dominican Republic and other parts of the island, Caribbean islands.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jews are the problem, brother.
Yeah, and what they've done, not only have the Jews gone to Kenya, now they've gone to CARICOM, and they got Jamaicans, they got people from Benin, they got all of these other African people that Jews are paying to come in and kill Haitians. And the Haitians are like, I mean, they literally saying, look, we ain't got no problem fighting. We just don't want to kill our own people.
Yes.
But if you come in here, you're not going to leave. You come in here, they're not going to find your body. They telling the people, look, they're not going to find your family. They're saying, we feel sorry for you, because if you come in here, it might be months before your family finds your body, if they find it. Like, don't come in here. We're supposed to be brothers. But if you come here, we're going to defend ourselves.
That's a damn shame.
They want to fight. They're like, we got to fight. We'll fight. We're not cowards. We're rebellious.
Right.
But we don't want to kill our own people.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these are good times. I know the negative side is that they got race traitors like Ruto. Mm-hmm. But the young people started the first part of the rebellion. I mean, they had the streets shut down. They killed like 50 young people in Kenya. They just are not organized enough to know how to finish. But they have to push the bar on the Ruto thing. He's a race traitor. If Ruto is allowed to be successful and effective, and if Ruto is still here breathing our good oxygen 10 years from now, then we've lost as a race of people. We're not going to make it. Like, mm-hmm. we need an example of what to do with this.
Right, with traitors, with those who sell us out, no doubt.
Can I talk about the level of treason that Ruto is
sure,
on
please
so that people
do.
Can kind of understand?
Yeah, all please right. do.
So I'm going to get to before even the Haiti part, the kind of stuff this guy's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to have his administration push through a bill. These are some of the things he would do. And this is not even all of the things. These are just a few of the things. One, the people in Kenya who have land, who've been there for however long, they own their land. It's their land. They pass it down to their children and their grandchildren. They want to remove those clauses of ownership of the land or inheritance of the land that you can give to your children. And now they want to make it where you're basically just leasing the land. And if you can't pay the taxes, they can come in and push you off the land. So literally, they're trying to make the people of Kenya sharecroppers on their own land. And so that developers and other Jews and other whites and Westerners, mostly Jews, can come in and buy their property and take their land from them, take the country from them. That's one. That's just one thing. Two, mm-hmm. he tried to pass a law that if you are caught, I want everybody to hear this because this is serious. If you are caught trading natural seeds with other farmers, you will be incarcerated. You cannot do your natural sowing of seeds and continue to do that. You must buy GMO seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll no longer be able to grow your own food unless you can go buy some fake GMO seeds from these companies, because they're making it mandated you will be incarcerated and imprisoned if you do this. Yeah. Also, the U.S., well, the Jews really through the U.S., were saying, we're giving you billions of dollars to create a new prison industrial system. So they want to make all these prisons in Kenya. Well, it's not that kind of crime in Kenya for there to be prisons, which means if they're trying to produce prisons, we already know why they're producing prisons, because they're going to create crime. It's just a system of enslavement, just like they have here, but they're trying to take this same system, like the Haitian brother says, copy-paste. They're trying to copy and paste what they've done to us through the criminal and justice system here in America, and now put it on the people in their own country inside of Kenya. They're funding them to build prison industrial system in Kenya for Kenyans themselves. They've put taxes on things to the point where a woman to get sanitary napkins is taxes on top of that, taxes on top of bread, taxing them to the degree that will cause incredible hyperinflation and complete utter poverty. What else Ruto has done? They've made deals with these multinational companies and corporations that they're tax exempt. But
we're taxed, yeah. But they're so, tax exempt, so they can come on in.
Right. They can come in and they're tax exempt. But here's the crazy part. In order to cover for that money that they would be paying into the system with the taxes they would pay to be the kind of corporation that they are, they're now charging the people increased amount of taxing where the people can no longer afford heat, gas, electric, water, or any of those basic services that people can't afford them anymore because they're overtaxed and the price is going up so high because the money they're supposed to be paying for that from the corporations, they told them they don't have to do. Just come on in. This is Ruto. Complete, utter, absolute race traitor. And then to add on top of it, like we just talked about, Then he's brokering a deal. The single Africans who were sold into enslavement, not one group from the continent that I'm aware of made any effort to physically go militarily and help our people here in the West free ourselves from enslavement. Yet this particular group armed themselves and defeated all of the armies of the world in the West after having been sold by our own people from the East. Now they're going to come over here as mercenaries for Jews to take away and fight against the freedom that we fought for here. They didn't. Our people didn't even help us from over there. And I'm not saying they could. Don't matter. They didn't. How are you going to come take our freedom when you sold us? I mean, we all African, but we get the point. I'm making.
Right. I get it. I hope our listeners get it.
He's a complete tradition. I had an argument with somebody. We had a debate. And I said, if he goes the direction he's trying to go, he'll be a worse race trader than Tipu Tip or Mobutu or any trader we've had ever. And I said, the reason is not he hasn't done it yet, the impact, but he's even letting them create bioweapon so-called COVID-19 injection labs over there. This is biowarfare. And talking about, not talking about, and having the children at birth be injected with a chip. So he's literally, this whole transhumanism, for those of us that are familiar with that whole process, they're not talking about it in Africa. Ruto is facilitating it in Kenya. He would be the worst race traitor in the history of the world because he would, the first time in the history of the world that someone would have said, I'll make it possible so that my people don't have the possibility to grow food because I will kill the land so that it can't grow the food through the GMOs. No one's ever done that. We didn't have the technology, but this is, it's insanity. We got to do something with this guy. And it's a crisis for the entire African world community, because if he wins in Kenya, the Jews win in the whole world, because they're getting him to fight against the people who would get us our liberation, like the Haitian brothers and sisters. And if they work there, then if we allow this to happen in Haiti and it's effective, they will then send them to the AAES, the Sahel, and then our brother in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger will be dealing with problems we allow to be created. We allow these Jews to run amok and use our people against our own liberation.
And so those people will challenge Burkina Faso, Mali, and
of
Niger,
course.
Our own
it's
people.
Practice in Haiti.
Yeah.
It's practice in Haiti for what they want to do in the Sahel. We need to let them lose that practice and stop any efforts they have to stop our ascension. Absolutely.
Because I know there's a number of us who are so proud of that alliance and what they're able to do, you know, because they're saying, hey, you know, this is a new day. This is a new way for Africans to bring come together to control our resources and control our people and so forth. And now, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, family, I hope you understand.
The good thing is,
so, family, I hope you understand what this, what Brother Ayo Kamathi is saying. You know, wow.
Here's the good thing. Here's the good thing. Like, we see the negative side, but here's the good thing. If there was not a positive side, none of this would be happening because there would be no necessity. If the Haitians hadn't said no to the Jews doing the same thing in Haiti that they'd done in America, then we'd all just be sitting around here complaining about the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
We now have a precedent in the Western Hemisphere, and it's a black one. What that shows us is what? I'm going to be real, talk real talk. Even in a miserable condition that we are in right now, we are not doing the right thing as a people. I have to say this, though. We still got more character and more heart than any of these white folks in the whole hemisphere.
Mm.
Any of the Hispanics,
mm-hmm.
any of the white folks, nobody else but Haiti has said, you think you're going to take my land from me? Click, click, let's go.
Right.
That's the
right
Haitians.
On.
So we're setting the precedent right now as we speak for liberation and freedom in the modern context. And what I love that they're doing, you definitely hit me on this one, Baba. Come on, Baba. Nobody else wants to say Jew.
They're scared.
They don't even have.
They're scared. They're scared, yeah.
Listen, when I'm talking to these brothers, they don't have my book. They don't have all the information that we have. They just know, hey, these people from Lebanon, and they from Jewish families, and they Jewish. They don't really know that them being Jew means anything. They just saying it because of the truth, and they're saying it not scared and saying these Jews are not going to come over here and take our land from us. I'm like, yo, I had no idea. And it just makes you so proud because nobody else in the world wants to say the word Jew, yet the Haitians are saying, hey, these Jews not going to come over here and take our land. And they talking about the fact, hey, when you had your little Holocaust thing, we opened up our arms to you and accept many of y'all to come over here and treated y'all well. Why would you turn on us now? They don't know much about the Jews.
That's right. That's why they operate.
That's right. That's right. But they're saying it. I mean, the Haitians are saying, hey, we got these Jews coming over here trying to dominate and oligarchs trying to, they call them oligarchs, but they'll tell you, they say the word Jew and they say they're from Jewish families, Lebanese Syrians, and they're not Haitian and we don't want them over here. Now, I'm proud right now. And here's what's beautiful.
Right on, right on.
They speak a version of French called Creole, Haitian Creole.
Mm-hmm.
And the AES, they speak French in that region. It's here,
right,
Mali,
right,
and Burkina Faso.
Burkina Faso.
So
right.
It makes sense with what's happening if we can find a way to link the two nations,
with
the four nations.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't, instead of three nations be part of the AES, there be four nations, one of them being Haiti?
Mm-hmm. And Haiti deserves that.
Not under the leadership.
Yeah.
Not under the leadership of the oligarchs, but under the leadership of General Therizier,
right,
and the Haitian people.
Barbecue.
That's right. That's barbecue, right, baby.
Barbecue. That's right, man. Yes. And it should. It should happen. It should happen. Because not only should it happen, but the whole process for us is global African liberation, global African sovereignty. And so it should happen. And particularly there in Haiti, you know, when you realize the mineral wealth of that island, and historically, they always talked about Haiti was the jewel of the Caribbean islands that France had, and how they were dogging the brothers and sisters out and so forth. You know, it was then, and it still is today, especially with that mineral iridium being discovered. That's a game changer. Haitian, if they had control of that, and I have such disdain, brother, for Dominican Republic in their color-struck ways, you know. So I wouldn't trust them for shit, you know. But that island could be a beacon, and if that coalition could happen, that the brothers from Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger could assist them in getting those Yahudis, that Urugu, them Jews, out of there where they can control them and get some serious leadership, some leadership that's going to deal with the people to understand that if we control this, we can raise the standard of living for us, you know, on this island that has been isolated and attacked because of what we did in 1804. They have punished them for decades, for centuries, for what they did, you know? But now they have an opportunity, and I hope it, and I'm going to be looking at it very carefully.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm going to continue to share information because here's the thing. The young brother, if you want to really pray for somebody, the young brother that I'm going to be interviewing again tonight, Brother Jean,
mm-hmm.
he's been kidnapped a number of times. The story he told us last time, and I'll share it. You'll hear it from him, but I'll just share the short version. Basically, when they kidnapped him the last time, they had him in a vehicle. He thought that they were Dominican police, but they actually weren't. They got some group, I forget the name of it, but it's a Dominican group that's like, we're going to put these Haitians out. Well, they had him and another guy in a car, and then they called on the phone to somebody. And they said, we got two more. And they said, we already full. So they were like, man, So they wanted to still do something. Then they took his phone and went in his phone and they saw his political connections. And that's when they kind of let him out to go. But I asked him when we were talking, so if they had more room, he said, well, all I can say for sure, I wouldn't be doing this conversation with you now. Now he's telling me, because now they see he's putting this information out. He says at least 10 times a day, he gets death threats. Come right in on the phone, we're going to kill you. The minute we see you, we're going to kill you. The same Dominicans you're talking about. When we see you, we're going to kill you. So I asked everybody to put up one for the brother because he's sharing the information. I wouldn't, what I'm sharing with you now, I would not have known in this depth, even talking to General Barbecue. He talked about a lot of it, but some of this stuff I'm learning strictly from, particularly what's going on in the Dominican Republic, I'm getting that from the brother who's there, who's Brother Jean. And he's put his life on the line to talk about this. And, this is part I want to tell people, too. This is crazy. I'm sorry. But it's just so much that is happening so fast. Okay. You remember when we first heard Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
And we thought it was a black group?
Right.
And we thought it meant something good for us, and then we later found out it's really JAM. I call it Jewish Agendas Matter. We call it JAM. Mm,
yeah.
It was just a Jewish front group putting a bunch of gays up to push gayism and use, you know, black death as the pretext.
Right, because all the leadership of it is lesbians and Jews. Gays and Jews.
Lesbians and Jews. Yeah, and the Jews are financing it. Right. So in this case, he was connected with all these Latin American organizations. So I said, well, why don't we have more signatures on this thing? I thought we would have had, you got 200 organizations, we'd have had thousands of signatures by now. He said, brother, he said, it's shocking me, but I thought these people were going to help. He said, we've been working together, but now they're telling me, well, you know, brother, we're getting money to do certain programs, and maybe you should just, you know, calm down a little bit and stay quiet. And, well, if we put our names on this, we're not going to get our funding. And he's like, funding from where? And they won't tell him where or whatever. But so what we're finding out now, I didn't even catch it, but somebody, when I told him, we were at our meeting, and the people said, some of the folks that we were talking to said, they got the same thing. That's open society. That's just the Jew front. They just done it. It's now it's Hispanic Lives Matter. You know, they've created a bunch of fake activist groups. And what they do is, if you're a real activist, they identify you. Mm-hmm. They make the people think something exists, but really it's just the Jews working their magic to get whatever it is they're trying to get accomplished and take over everything through these front groups. So when you're really serious, they totally back away from you, don't have anything to do with you. But that's what he's running into. He can't get any of them to sign a petition to stop killing the Haitians in the Dominican Republic and stop what's happening there, because now he's realizing that they're all been. He doesn't realize black, like, we haven't talked about that part. We figured that part out. He just knows all of them have abandoned him.
Yeah, man. We're,
so you can imagine.
We're gonna
trying to stop people from getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who you've been working with now all of a sudden scared, turn the other way because they say, I got money I got coming in. I can't say something. Can you imagine?
Yeah, money. That European Yahudi influence. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to take a break. We're going to continue on with the dialogue. You're welcome to join us at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brother Kamathi, we have a lot of people. And those who are on, if you have a question or a comment, hit star twice, and you can join this dialogue with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. Now, the program tonight, once again, how can the people, in what time? And that's going to be Eastern time, of course.
And, yes, Eastern time.
Okay.
7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they can either watch it live streaming on Rumble at Irritated Genie. No. Rumble is just Irritated Genie. On okay. Rumble, it's Irritated Genie.
Okay.
And then on Twitter, it's at Irritated Genie. And on Twitter, you can also watch it on at JAT Problem. Either of those two on Twitter.
Okay.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. family.
Live stream.
Yeah. Online with the irritated genie. Brother Irv. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Brother Oshie, I'm doing good. Brother Genie, how you doing? This is Brother Irv from Baltimore.
My brother, how you feeling?
No, you brother, you are fighting. You are a warrior. You are a warrior that I aspire to be. Because I'm telling you, Brother Genie, you got about as much fear in you as I got. I'm not even going to try to make a comparison. You have no fear
at all.
I'm telling you, the scariest American African out here is one who has no fear. You just don't. I'm like, bruh, don't you know these people? They don't like what you're doing. You are exposing these people. You're pulling the covers back off of these psychopaths that we live amongst. I was saying the other day, we were having a discussion here. I'm in California. We were having a discussion with a couple of brothers I was talking to, and they were saying that, you know, the real politics would have been to have this girl Kamala run against the white lady who was running for president, because she was part Indian and part white, and Kamala's part Indian and part black, and that would have been the run. But what we do is the cognitive dissonance that we practice as American Africans is we just don't even look at the part that she committed herself to a Jew. Kamala committed herself to a Caucasian. We act like that doesn't exist because she's a sorrow. So I brought this up only because we are so divided with our sororities, our Masons, our all the other things that divide us as American Africans. But yet other countries, other ethnicities can circle their wagons. Why is that, brother Genie? Why can they circle their wagons, but we stay in an apartheid state? Apartheid means to be apart. And we separate ourselves. And it seems like we do it voluntarily, but I do believe we've been indoctrinated to have this type of behavior. But I'm telling you, I tell people about you, Brother Genie, and they quickly shut it down. I don't want to hear about that.
They're scared.
I don't want to talk about that.
It's
like somebody listening. Oh, I got a job. I got to feed my kids, man. You know, I can't do that. And it just takes me somewhere. Brother, I guess, I can't get upset with them. I understand fear. I've been afraid in my life too. But when you have the armor of knowledge, because some of the things that you've been putting online that I've been reading, I researched it to see if you knew what the hell you were talking about. And my God, it's the truth. It is the truth. And the truth will win every day. The truth don't need no introduction. And that's why you're so powerful. The things that you talk about and the things that you bring out are just true. You ain't got to argue. It's no argument. Because these people have a doctrine. They want to rule the world. They're going to do it. That's why the United States is their whore. Because they're United States pimp. They pimp us. And I listened to it the other day. All these Jewish people were killed. Well, you just killed 34,000 children, women and children. But see, now you ain't fighting the mosque. You fighting Hezbollah. That's an army. That's a real army. Let's see how good y'all do when you're fighting soldiers as opposed to fighting women and children. And this ain't nothing. I'm surprised at, because the people here was grabbing American Africans and hanging them in trees, cutting off their parts. And this is what they did. This is their history. That's why you don't want to talk about history. Because it makes them look bad. Brother Genie, thank you for coming on the show. I can't stop listening to you.
What the hell? Hey.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
He said we had a lot of people on the line, so I was holding. But until he gets back, I can say something about what you said.
Yeah, brother, go ahead and make that comment. I just want to say, that I just got bumped off the air.
They don't want you talking about this.
Exactly. I'm serious, y'all. I'm serious. I just got bumped off the air, man. Wow.
That's how they do it. Wow. This is the real talk. This is that real talk. They don't want this. Woo. When men come around, boys start running, man. You know what I'm saying? They get lions. You know?
Yeah.
The lions come, the hyenas scatter. You know how it is.
Shit. I'm like, wow. Well, brothers and sisters, we got a number of you. You know what to do. You hit star twice, and you're on the line with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. Right. His book, The Jews Are the Problem, and his latest book, The Psychology of the Jew. And I tell you, man, this is a pervasive disease on this planet. That these people who are, their numbers are few, but their reach is broad. I mean, they're like an octopus everywhere, you know.
And I agree with you. And part of what this book is talking about, you know, the most dangerous Jew of all, out of every Jew, the most dangerous one?
Who is that?
It's the Jew within. It's the Jew within.
I say.
See, that's why I wrote this second book.
Yeah.
And you read the book, so you know.
Yeah.
Once you understand the psychology and the mindset and the behaviors that are associated with Jewishness, you understand that when you out here involved in homosexuality or pedophilia, more than anything, you being Jewish. When you out here in bestiality, or you out here in sadomasochism, N-word this, N-word that, bees hold this, you're violating your own people's self-esteem. You're being Jewish. When you're involved in this whole hip-hop, the whole thing that's degrading women, the whole idea of degrading women and pornography. I'm not beating up on people. I know we become Jewish.
But see,
the Jew.
What you're saying
inside of us now.
What you're saying, I mean, just reflected on something that I know I will never forget. And this was listening to Sister Soulja saying that she can't get a contract talking about, you know, conscious rap and so forth, because now it's been co-opted by that negative Jewish influence. And she said it. And this is like 20 some years ago, you know? And then that piece where this one cat who a Jewish dude said, we had this meeting about hip hop where they were going to build prisons and flood our community with this consistent negative message. So cats would start gang banging and shooting and robbing and stealing to put their ass in prison wholesale. You know, they've said what the hell they're going to do, but the reality is they did it. And we didn't understand it. And we didn't have the leadership, because the leadership was bought off. Number one.
That's right.
They found a way to keep their mouth shut, because the thing is, in this society, which perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, they succumb. They didn't say, just like what you're saying that's happening in Haiti, you know, with them brothers says, nah, we don't want that, you know, and we'll fight to keep it out. But yet, you see another African country, Kenya, are sending troops to battle against this. We know, or should know, if you don't know, we about the Dominican Republic. They ain't about shit. I don't know if there's some influence that could happen for them or with them, but I do know that the other side of the island, color struck, you know, and that's where a lot of us go for vacations and getaways and that kind of thing. But, you know, because
we need to stop, too.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, in our petition, we have things to do. The first thing we said is stop doing vacations and supporting economically the Dominican Republic. Stop doing it right now.
Yes.
Until they do right by our brothers and sisters.
That right on.
Asian brothers and sisters. We're not going to participate in this thing. let me say something because it's going to where you're going. I really want to say this because I'll forget. We start talking about the issues, I forget. I'm not just sitting by watching what's happening and realizing that in the condition that we're in, we're not doing what we need to do. I'm going on a tour, and it was supposed to start in 2025, but as soon as I mentioned it, man, I got about 8 things lined up now.
Right on.
In fact, can I run through some of the dates
so
people
please.
Can know?
Please. And you can include that December 14th here in Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
Here in Atlanta,
yes,
at
sir,
the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in near the east of Atlanta, and that's
right.
That's going to happen here, and I'll be of course promoting that, and so you have a chance to network with my brother, and he's going to lay out a nice program. That's on Saturday afternoon from 3 to 7, Saturday, December 14th, at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. But you'll hear more about
it. That's right.
All right. Go ahead, my brother.
All right. Thank you, Baba, because I sure didn't know the address. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So let me just let people know. You know, they shot that sister Massey in the face out there in Springfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know. You know, the police officer said, I'll shoot you in your upper face, and then shot her when she was picking up the boiler.
Yep.
Okay. So they called me up, and they said, brother, they're doing the same thing here that they're doing. That they did in the Ferguson thing. We saw how you dealt with that, man. We want you here. So I was actually planning to do the 2025 tour in 2025. They said, we need you here sooner than that. The people are ready to do something. They want to know what direction it goes. So long story short, this weekend, Saturday, October 12th, 2024, from 2 to 6 p.m., it'll be at the Ruby Community Center. There's no charge. Come on out, brothers. If you're in Chicago, if you're in Springfield, anywhere in Illinois, come on out to Springfield, Illinois. It's 1520 East Washington Street, Springfield, Illinois, from 2 to 6. Again, that's this Saturday, October 12th. We're going to talk about the things because people don't know. Not only did they kill her, but it's been like 3 or 4 shootings of black people. Well, not all black, some of them white, but shootings or harming of people by police officers since that time. And, you know, so people are ready to do something about something. Saturday, November 2nd, we'll be in Baltimore, 3 to 7, at Terra Cafe, 101 East 25th Street, Baltimore. So we'll be there, African Survival in the 21st Century. We're going to talk about all the things we're talking about. I'm going to show it, too. December 7th, we're going to be in the Brook at Dr. William Mackey's History Club, 103 Quincy Street, Brooklyn, New York, from 4 to 8. It's not going to be Wednesday this time. We're going to be at Mackey's on a Saturday, so everybody up in the New York area, you want to come on out to Big Apple. Then, like Baba said, on the 14th, we're going to be on the Black Dot Community. Help me out, Baba.
The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
The Black
From
Dot
3 Cultural... to 7 p.m. That's right. Mm-hmm. So come on out. You're going to enjoy that as well. That'll be right down there in the Atlanta area, in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Then February 1st for Black History Month, we're going to be all the way on the other side, down south in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
At the Shrine of the Black Madonna.
Right on.
Yeah, we're going to be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna on February 1st. We love the Shrine. There's some good folks over there.
Mm-hmm.
5309 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houston, Texas. Then on the 15th of February, we're going to be at the House of Consciousness in Norfolk, Virginia, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So that's going to be a late nighter. We're going to do it that night. We're going to go. We're going to take it all the way into the wee hours that night. We're going to really get into some talking about what's going on with our people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be February 15th. And that's what we have so far. And we haven't even really started it. What we're looking for, if there's anybody that's listening, if you're anywhere in the South near Atlanta or anywhere down there, between December the 14th, when we're down in Atlanta, and February 1st, when we're in Houston, we want to make that our Southern tour. African Survival in the 21st Century, Irritated Genius, Southeast. I'm there. I'm ready to do it. All I need is people to come on out. Tell me where, you know, whatever region that you have, if you have a community center, a church. We talk about our survival as a people. We got to clean ourselves up. We got to get back to a proud and productive people. We got to know how to have decorum when we speak to one another in public. We got to know how to, you know, how we should look, how we should feel, how we should sound, how we should work together. I'm coming to revitalize that energy that we haven't seen. We haven't seen a real speaking circuit of consciousness and love and lifting. It's been a minute since we've seen it, and I'm going to revitalize that thing, clean it up, and get it right.
Right on.
And so we're going to be coming. So reach out to us at liberation@waronthehorizon.com. Send us an email if you have an interest in this, being part of this tour. Again, that's liberation@waronthehorizon.com.
One of the other things I know that we're definitely going to do here in Atlanta, and as I said to you earlier off the air before we came on, that I pray for your safety because of what you're doing. But I think that everywhere that you go now, there's got to be a security force. They got to check the people who are coming in, you know, because some people might be influenced by these European Jews, by these crackers, by Urugu, and a sellout and be willing to do something crazy, you know. And so we got to check that, family. We got to check each other. We got to stay up on them. Stay straight ahead and above board. And so I know that, and I'm going to talk to the brother at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, you know, to make sure that we have some security. I know he's got some good brothers that work there, you know, but I want to make sure that that happens, because any and everywhere this brother goes, man, he needs to be protected. He needs to be protected. So the dates that he already said, if you're listening in those areas, make sure that those venues are checked out, and make sure that every person that walks through that door, you know, is checked out, you know. So
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I can tell you right now, down in Houston, I got the warlords down there. They said, "We got you, brother. When you come into town," I told them, "I'm coming." They ready. They got the ARs ready.
Right on. Okay. So we're gonna have you. We'll have you protected here, and I hope you're protected everywhere else, my brother. Believe me, for the things that you are bringing, the knowledge that you are bringing, the awareness that you are bringing, you know. Because let me say this: once you get off into the Jews are the problem, or the psychology of the Jews, and you look back, and you look at what has happened, and you look at what is happening, you can see that you hitting home, brother. You are hitting home. It ain't no, you know, some conjecture or some, I don't know. No, you're hitting home. This shit is real. And these people, these demonic ass people, are trying to make it happen the way they want it to happen, and to our detriment. That's why it was surprising, even in this book, that you're talking about the Caucasians and us aligning together to deal with this issue of the European Jew, this evil entity trying to run the world. But not just trying to run the world, they're trying to eliminate people from the planet.
That's right.
You know.
Can I mention something more with you?
Please do.
Two quick short stories. I'm glad you said that. Just to show you, and I want people to hear this, if there's anything I'm proud of, there's not one of you out there that dislikes white folks worse than me. I know everybody wants to compete, but trust me, there's not. I'm telling you, I'd get the title, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I looked at it, the ancestors talked to me, Amen talked to me, they said, look, this is what you got to do to save your people. You got to put aside your feelings. This is warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard, but I'm very proud to say, I've gone out, and I'm going to tell you, I've been with the most whitest of the white, right, nationalistic, Nazi, whatever you want to call it, the mature ones. I've been with them. And let me tell you something. Two things, two short stories. We did a conference called the JP Conference. It was actually a brother that's Pashkin, which is Afghanistan, who financed it and put it together. And it was all white nationalists. The only two black people there, the only two, were me and Dr. Cynthia McKinney. That's it.
Mm.
The whole other lineup was
now
white.
That's a warrior and, right there, brother. Dr. Cynthia McKinney, that's a real warrior right there. Yes, sir. Go ahead, man.
Well, think about it. She came to the conference. It was one of the first speakers. So, you know, for her to even come there to tell you the kind of courage she got.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even think about worried about being around who she was around. She knew I was there as she was there. She don't have to feel like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing but a warrior.
I say.
But what I wanted to say to your story is, when I spoke, And it was at the end of the evening. They had me at the end of the evening, the way it worked itself out. I said to them, look, I'm going to be honest with you. We got a Jewish problem, and y'all lucky this time because you ain't got Crispus Attucks or Martin Luther King on your side. You got Nat Turner and Malcolm X on your side this time. And I'm telling you, this is a room full of white men. They start clapping and cheering. They say, that's what we want. We ain't looking for no integration. We got to fight. They clapped when a black man told them, you got Nat Turner and Malcolm on your side. I want y'all to hear me. My second story I want to tell just happened this week. I'm sick of how they're talking about our Haitian brothers and sisters being cannibals and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on the JP Spaces on Twitter, you know, a thing called Spaces, and had like 700 people on there, whatever. So I got on and said a few things, and I started talking about Haiti. And I told the actual story of what's really happening and that they're fighting the Jews. And this white woman came on and said, thank you, Irritated Jeannie. She said, I've been out here giving misinformation because what these Jews have been putting on the news, and I didn't think nothing of it. I said, well, thank you for saying that. I'm glad you know. I turned around on yesterday. That was Sunday. Yesterday, she's on Alex Jones' program doing her own segment for an hour. She comes on in the middle of her segment and says, hey, I have to say, I apologize. I was wrong. I got this misinformation from these people that run the media about Haiti. And she told a story of General Cherizier, that it's a freedom struggle in Haiti, that they don't want these people taking over their island. They're fighting and they should be fighting and standing up for what they're. I said, you got to be kidding me. This is a white, I mean, she's white all the way on that side, right, that you would expect to be walking around with the Nazis. And she's saying, because I got misinformation from a Jew, and these Haitians are fighting these people for their land, that they should fight them, and I'm going to correct it and tell people I made an error and give them the right information. And she did it. I'm saying that to say, I ain't no integrationist, never will be. I love black people and black women. I love me some black people. Black woman ain't got to never worry about me on that. You right. Worry about me on a whole lot of stuff, but you ain't got to worry about me racially leaving nothing because I love me some black women. But let me tell you something. There is something to be said in warfare for understanding what an alliance looks like. If I'm trying to help my Haitian brothers and sisters, does it not help me if somebody white goes to a white forum where they have millions of followers per day and that white person tells the truth about the freedom fighter, General Cherizier, and puts that information out there to correct the negative image that's been put out there? I don't have access to those people. Doesn't that help us?
I say.
And if it helps us, then it is what it is. And look, she going her way. I don't know her. I'm going my way. She don't know me. But together, we have helped black people there, and we put a dent in the momentum of the Jew for the overthrow of this planet.
Yeah, because, I mean, not only do they want to wipe out the Gentiles and whoever falls under that moniker, but they want to wipe out everybody. They want total domination and total control over this planet and its resources. You know.
That's right. They don't even want people to be people no more. They want you to be mixed up with a robot.
Yeah.
With nanotechnology.
Yeah.
And look, I'm one of those people. I don't like weirdo stuff. So I don't like a bunch of weird, creepy stuff, people with these conspiracy theories. I've looked at the science. This is not conspiracy. Those injections have as many as 1,000 billion robots inside of them, microscopic robots that are self-assembling in people's body when you take those things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take no more of them shots, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
You're putting technology.
That's right.
Not no medicine. That's technology in your body. It's real. I mean, I've looked at the science. It's not even debatable.
That's why, to me, I mean, I know a lot of us got the jab. Some good friends of mine got the jab, and they kept asking me why, and I'm not going to get. Well, they know that I don't trust anything that these crackers do, you know, nothing, you know. But by the same token, I know a number of people have died. Good friends of mine, you know, have passed, especially when it was early on in the plandemic. You know, they died, and it's hurting me too. But the fact of the matter is, and when I read that piece in the Psychology of the Jews of the artificial intelligence, you know, how they can control that. That's really scary, you know. That's really scary because they can alter your DNA. They can basically make you think and behave the way they want you, you know. So, I mean, we have a lot of battles that we're going to have to fight down the line. And it's an ongoing thing. And that's why, for me, I'm still very serious about African, Pan-Africanism, you know. But there's also a conscious and a conservative nationalism, you know, what you talked about with Caucasians and us and anybody else who has to understand that there is a serious battle against them and us going on. And we have to defeat that if we're to live. If we're to live, we have to defeat that, you know.
If I can give some suggestions to people, this is information that I found out more recently, and it's very important, and I'd like to just share it with people because it's solution-oriented. What we're facing with this, the whole COVID thing, and everything, what we're looking at, I don't have time to get deep into it, but I just want to just touch on it to explain why it's the case, because it's going to sound strange when I say it. But at the base of what it is, the COVID and these injections, the science that they're using, they found a way to take snake venom and through a lab synthetically create snake venom poisoning. When you say you got the COVID, if it's not just a regular cold, if it really is COVID, it's not COVID. It's a bioweapon that's literally synthetic snake venom, which is why you have the difficult time breathing and things of that nature. It's because what snake venom does is not actually that it closes your lungs. It is neurological. It goes to your brain, and your brain tells your lungs to shut down and everything. So you're actually dealing with synthetic snake venom, some kind of bioweapon stuff that's beyond my comprehension in that regard. The point being, what we found is that everything that can be used – this is Dr. Brian Artis. I didn't come up with this, but this is the actual finding. Everything that can be used to fight a snake bite, snake venom, can be used to help fight these sickness, and if you've taken the injections. The number one thing, this is going to sound incredible to people. It was incredible to me. I didn't know. I verified it. It's true. I did not know this. Nicotine is not actually a negative thing. Cigarettes are negative. You don't want to do no cigarettes. Let me be clear. Do not smoke cigarettes. It'll give you cancer. But it's a man-made chemical they put in cigarettes that makes it addictive. It's not nicotine. Right. Nicotine is actually a natural substance. It's in tomatoes. It's in eggplants. Nicotine is a very good substance for the body. And every cell in the body pretty much has nicotine receptors. What happens is this thing that they have, this bioweapon, it attaches itself to the ACE2 variant in our bodies. Not that important to know what that is, but the bottom line is once it attaches, that's when you start getting sick. Here's the beautiful thing. The number one thing that we found that can destroy that is nicotine, which means nicotine gum or nicotine patch, not cigarettes. A nicotine gum, nicotine patch, some natural tobacco type substances. If you take those, if you get what you think is COVID and you take some nicotine, you'll get sick right in the beginning because it'll make those things release in your system. Once you know, you might throw up or you might, you know, get a little sick and woozy. Once you flush it out of your system, you'll be fine. Nicotine is the number one thing that prevents the spike protein from latching on to the ACE2 variant that we found out here. It's like it's a killer of it. And what it also does, it's demonstrated that it's a nuclear bomb for nanobot technology. You got nanobots, you put some nicotine in it, boom, it starts killing the nanobot technology, these little microscopic robots they put in there. So we have a God-given substance, nicotine, that's actually healthy for you, not cigarettes, that if you get some of that, everybody should get it. They've been trying to outlaw it. They've been trying to ban nicotine now because nicotine is like like the formula to stop a lot of what they're doing. So that's just something I wanted to throw out there to people.
Outstanding. Outstanding. In fact, to me, my thing is go get you some nicotine today. Nicotine gum, patch, whatever, you know, put that in your so-called medicine cabinet and be prepared for what may come down the line. Yeah.
And ivermectin is another one that's very good. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, nicotine. Mm-hmm. Nicotine, number one. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Ivermectin is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Ivermectin is phenomenal. It even helps against cancer.
Yeah, I remember when they talked about that at the very beginning of the pandemic. And they talked about hydroxychloroquine that and that asshole Trump mentioned that. And of course Fauci disputed him, you know, because Fauci had another agenda.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's a psychopath, a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I never liked Fauci from the AIDS, you know, epidemic.
That's right.
You know, I
That's
remember
right.
him from the AIDS epidemic. And of course, he was adamant about AIDS was not created in a laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland. Oh, yeah, it was. You know.
And he also was adamant about, I know it's a little bit of a different topic, but it's the same kind of thing. If we know, people did not, this is the part that's going to hurt people. You said there were people who died when this thing first came out. This is the part people don't understand. The vast majority of people who died, I want people to hear this because they're still doing it. They're not dying from the bioweapon, which they call COVID-19. That's not why they died. It's not. That's what made them sick. The way they died was because instead of giving them the actual ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or nicotine or intravenous vitamin C or quercetin or many different things you could do, because they didn't know what to do, they went to the hospital. And Fauci did the same thing that he did that Baba just talked about, or what he did with the AZT. There was only one thing if you went in the hospital that they would give you if they said that you had COVID, that they would give you. Now, this is why it's important. In 2019, they were trying to fight Ebola in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were using different medications or different, you know, things that they were testing. One of them was called Remdesivir. Mm. It was so deadly that it killed over 50% of the people that they gave it to. So they pulled it because they said this thing is a poison. It's killing people more than it's helping. So they pulled it in 2019. But when this thing came out in 2020, the only thing that you could get, the only thing that was approved if they said you had COVID and you went to the hospital, was Remdesivir. This is what it was. It's a death protocol, because this is what happens. When they put you in on Remdesivir, you could be the most healthiest person in the world. Remdesivir destroys the kidneys and other organs. So when they put you in and they give your family member who's already having problems Remdesivir, they're not dying from the bioweapon. The Remdesivir is killing their organs. So then what happens, see, they get paid in the way it works out. You get paid on each piece of it. If they give you a test, they get paid. If it comes up positive, they get paid. If they admit you to the hospital, they get paid. If they put you on Remdesivir, they get paid, and they get 25% on top of everything else added together after it's over. Once they put you on Remdesivir, after 3 days, your kidneys are going to start failing. When that happens, you can't pass fluid through your kidneys. So what happens, the fluid starts backing up into your lungs. And you can't breathe.
You suffocate.
So when you can't breathe, then they say, oh, let's put you on the ventilator. Once they put you on a ventilator, and 3 days after that, you're gone. They get a $40,000 bonus or $40,000 payment for that one. That's the big payment. And then get the payments on out of it. So pretty much they killed people. People who were healthy, who they said, hey, we look like you came positive. Once they put them on Remdesivir, it's a death protocol because they know what's going to happen. They're still doing it today. This is why it's so important for me to say that. I mean this literally. This is not me trying to sell none. I'm not selling anybody anything. I'm telling people, you can do this yourself. I invested in buying ivermectin because I said, if people need some help, I'm never going to be in a situation again where I can't help them. If I can help it. So people call me and tell me they have a friend that's in a hospital. They just said they're going to put them on Remdesivir, or some of them, they had put them on that first day and they started getting sick. We have given people the medicine, tell them, take that ivermectin to them. They've taken the ivermectin to them in the hospital. The next morning, they feel good, and they're not having problems. They feel better. And what happens is, at least in the case we did, when the people, the doctors or nurses come in there and see that they didn't get sicker and realize they're not taking a remdesivir, they make them leave the hospital. Why? Because they get their money if you keep taking remdesivir,
right,
get sick, and then get the ventilator and die. That's how they get paid.
Mm.
So if you get healthy and you didn't, you wasting space now. They send you home.
That's right. I got another people for that bed so I can get that money. Give us a call. Right. Give us a call, brothers and sisters. We're on with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Irv, go ahead.
Baba Oshi, I just wanted to say that he's absolutely correct in what he's saying about this conspiracy with the COVID virus. But Dr. Fauci had a lot of stock in Pfizer. So you got to remember, these people worship money. They don't give a damn about you or nothing. They worship money. And he made a lot of, if you follow the money with the Jewish people, you'll find out that a lot of things they do revolves around how much money they're making. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah.
Because this brother's right on point, man. You're raising so many discussion points, so we don't have enough time to even delve into them. You're scraping the surface of the genie right now, because this brother is deep, Baba Oshi.
Yo,
he don't need a 2-hour show. He need a 2-month show. This brother's deep, man, and he's there's nothing you can ask him about this subject that he cannot go in depth on, because he's not telling you what he thinks. And he noticed he never raises his voice. He never uses cuss words. He's not using the N-word. Nothing is emotional. This is business. This is warfare.
That's right.
We're behind enemy lines right now. This is strategic.
Yeah.
And he's saying things that are strategic, because there's a lot of things he could say that would really get these folks upset, and your goddamn stream will go off.
Oh, believe me. Yeah, it's showing the hell did, man. Well, just like that. But I'm saying to you, family, get the books. Get the books, family. The Jews are the problem. The psychology of the Jew, which is the new one. These are very recent books. This one here, the psychology is new. This year. The Jews are the problem. Okay. That's about a couple years old.
Yep, 2022.
Yeah.
2022.
Family, Brother Kamathi, tell them how they can get these books.
You can go to waronthehorizon.com. Again, that's waronthehorizon.com. Go down the page, you'll see that if you go to waronthehorizon.com, it'll take you right to our store, and then it'll say books, because we got DVDs and things as well. But you can go into the books, and right there you'll see Jews are the Problem 1 and Jews are the Problem Part 2. You can order them there. You also see where you can go in and get the audio book. If you look for it we have a section called Jews are the Problem. You click that, all of our stuff on Jews is there, and one of them you can get the audio book. So you can get an MP3, put it in on your phone, put it on your radio, and listen to it, you know, while you're on the road.
There it is. How long is that? About 3 hours?
Man, I think it's about 5 hours, I think.
Okay, 5 hours. Sure. Okay, okay. Hours. Brothers and sisters, hit star twice. We only have a few minutes left here with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. Hit star twice. There's about 10 of you in the queue, and everybody just want to listen. Hit star twice and give your question, comments, or concerns. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Hey, best show ever.
Best show ever. I know that's right. Well, I know you jumped off a couple of times, Mama Nabantu, but he'll be December 15th.
I heard.
You got that?
I heard.
Okay, at the Black
Dot. I got all of that, but okay. I want to invite him to come to the New Black Wall Street one of the days during Kwanzaa, where we're going to do Kwanzaa at New Black Wall Street between the 26th and the 1st of January, because our folks need to hear the message and hear it more than once, actually.
I say.
Because there's a lot of information to intake,
yeah,
and have the books on site where people could purchase those books. So,
oh, thank you, Mama Nabantu. Thank you, Brother Jeannie. The New Black Wall Street is just right down the street from where you're going to be on the 15th. So, you know, I hope you can free up your schedule and make that, we can make that happen too at the New Black Wall Street through Mama Nabantu.
That's perfect. If you put us in touch, we'll go ahead and schedule it. I can even do once, or I can do 3 days on different topics. It's all under the banner of African survival of the 21st century. Or I can do something on the injection. Whatever she wants, I'm available for it. Let's save our people. I'm ready.
Ashe, there you go, Mama Nabantu. Me and you will work this out. And of course, you got the connects at the New Black Wall
right.
Street.
I just want to also let him know I heard him in Baltimore at the conference up there a year ago. So I he's on the right page.
That's for sure. And so are you, my sister.
Oh, one more thing.
Sure.
If he has any comments about whether or not this hurricane is going on is man-made.
I do. I can't say for certain because I wasn't there. I will say this. All of the experts I listen to, the thing that most appears to be weather warfare related from their perspective, and these are experts, I'm not an expert. The issues are that when hurricanes come in, they generally don't hit the mountains for a number of reasons.
Right, they'll die out.
But,
yeah.
But they said that this is following a pattern of things that happened like in Acapulco last year, where they said the hurricane came into Acapulco but didn't do damage, went out to sea and came right back. So they said the things that these hurricanes are doing these days are more things where they're being directed once they get somewhere and pushed into certain environments. Now, based upon that, I would say it appears to be nefarious because, and all of us will relate to this, what we're seeing in North Carolina, and this is how we know it's Jews. This is how you know it's Jews. We've been through this not that long ago. It was called Hurricane Katrina. The only difference, they blew up levees there and committed genocide and watched us die there. This time, the preppers and the people who are off-grid, who fend for themselves and know how to, have backup systems and armed, they're up in the mountains in North Carolina, exactly where this thing hit. And now, just like they did to us, they're not allowing them to get food. FEMA's coming in there, or these black helicopters are coming there and destroying the food. If you bring food to them or clothes, the FEMA is taking them and then giving them to immigrants, illegal immigrants in other places, and not allowing the people there to get these supplies. And these are white folks. White folks wouldn't be doing this to white folks, not this calculated. This is the Jews that control Department of Homeland Security. This is organized genocide. Now, white folks are saying it's not funny when they're on the other side of it. And the good thing about it, it ain't black folk doing this to them. It's the Jews in their society killing white folks in that region that you're talking about with weather warfare and with just basic preventing them from getting access to resources to live, food and clothing. They're murdering them. Just like they did us in Hurricane Katrina. We're very familiar with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man,
I heard the folks cussing each other out, pulling guns on each other that you're not hearing in the media.
Yeah.
They're talking about how grateful these folks are coming in with the food and everything. But a sister who lives up in Asheville, she said it was awful.
In Asheville, North Carolina? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not what they're telling on the media. It's really bad.
Yeah.
The psychology.
I know she said it, and I know I just said it, but I want to say it again. We are seeing literally, brothers and sisters, this is how you know something's going on. The white folks thought it was funny when it was us. Remember? I want y'all to go back and remember Hurricane Katrina. They said, you don't got the common sense to run away from a hurricane? They didn't talk about them levees being blown up now. But now they're talking about how hostile it is when the government will give $7 billion to somebody across the world but won't allow them to even get food or supplies when they're dying, the children walking around naked with their parents dead, and they walking around naked at 4 or 5 years old. Some of them still up in trees, and they won't allow people to bring their personal helicopters to save them. You got private citizens that are trying to bring their helicopters to come save people, and they're running into static from the federal government saying, "Nah, they don't. Nah, nah, you can't do that." They're actually saying that if you are given, now I'm sure there's some people that are getting through, like the sister saying, they're fighting to get through, but they're taking people's food and clothing for the people who are sick, and FEMA's taking those and saying anything that hasn't been approved by FEMA, they can't go up in there. But then they're taking it and giving it to the people that are illegal aliens that they're bringing in over the border. This is all happening right now.
Yeah.
Them Jews.
Them Jews.
Mayorkas.
Yeah. Mayorkas. Yeah. He looks Latino, but he, I mean, the bottom line is you can't tell a European Jew by a look. You can't tell a European Jew by a name. They are who they are because that's how they have developed and who they've chosen to be. You know, used to be, oh, his name is Stein or his name is Berger, you know. or he got a hook nose or some shit like that, you know.
Right.
No.
I'm with you 100%. Mayorkas, in a million years, I'm not going to lie to anybody. Yeah. I had no idea he was a Jew until I found out he was a Jew.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought he was Hispanic.
Well, even Blinken, you can't tell by a look. Now, you know, yeah. So let me kiss you.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. You're on.
Hey, Brother Oshie and Brother Genie, how y'all doing?
Doing fine.
Listen, Brother Genie, let me ask you this. What is the protocol right now in regards to this treatment of the corona since it looks like it may be coming back? What is the protocol?
Okay, you mean the protocol what we should do, or what is the protocol they're doing in the hospital?
No, I understand clearly what you're saying in regards to the hospital, but I'm saying what could be the protocol medically, ivermectin or what is the deal?
I would tell people these are things I would suggest people to have around. One, definitely ivermectin. If you can have ivermectin, have it. I take one a day, honestly. I take one a day just to be, you know, just because it's safe and effective. I'm not telling anybody to do that, but I'm just telling you what I do. Ivermectin, I would say hydroxychloroquine. I would say quercetin. If you can have some quercetin, that's really good as well. There's a brand called Doctor's Best. It's called NAC. And the brand that I like is Doctor's Best because they don't have a very good brand of it, NAC, N-acetylcysteine. I think that's very good. Definitely everybody get out there and get you some nicotine gum or nicotine patches and just get that nicotine in your system because it does good against that bioweapon technology and it does good against anything that can bind to the H2 receptors. It's very, very good. Just natural nicotine. What else? If you can have natural, really literally natural organic honey is very good in terms of being antibiotic. So that's good. If you can get you natural bee honey from, you know, farm honey, really natural honey, that's very good. Trying to think off the top of my head. Right off the top of my head, those are some another one, EDTA. I would say for everybody, if you can get you some EDTA, that's some really good stuff as well. And the last thing I'll say, I'm glad you asked that, brother, because I'd be forgetting to say this. So much stuff going on. When this happened last time, I wasn't prepared for it. And the people who I dealt with, you know, they weren't necessarily reliable. So I went this time because I know something else is coming back. Long story short, I got with a sister. She does this for a living. She makes teas, natural teas. She gets the stuff from all over the world, and she does really, really good stuff. Everybody loves her stuff. She's helped people get over diabetes and things of that nature. So I have a flyer. I just got to send it out and give it to people. Well, I'm telling people it's called Herbal Renaissance. Matter of fact, if you can put it in now, Brother Sister, you can just go look it up yourself on, I think she's on TikTok and maybe Instagram. Herbal Renaissance. Very good quality teas and any of these things. And we came up with a formula to try to help people. If something else comes out, to the best of the ability, give them something that builds the immune system. So she has a package up there for that, and just has good stuff all together. So go to Herbal Renaissance, and you'll see the stuff that she has. So that's another place you can go. So I hope that was helpful.
Is that herbalrenaissance.com?
.co.
Oh, .co.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Herbal Renaissance Company. Herbalrenaissance.co. Okay. Once again, I only got like 5 minutes left, family. If you have a question, comment, or concern for our good brother, Brother Ayo Kamathi. And once again, he'll be here in the Atlanta area December 15th at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. And he'll be at Kwanzaa. He'll be at Kwanzaa here in the Atlanta area at the new Black Wall Street Market, which is just the next exit after the Black Dot. The Black Dot is exit 74 off of I-20. The new Black Wall Street Market is 75. I-70 is exit 75 off of I-20. So we're going to make that happen, family. Once again, brother, tell them where you're going to be soon. We already mentioned how people can get the book, and that you're going to be on this evening on rumble.com/.
Yes, rumble.com, Irritated Genie. If you go rumble.com and then search Irritated Genie, boom, you'll be right there with us. We're going to be talking to the brother from Haiti, Brother Jean Clibert, who's telling us what's going on in Dominican Republic with the assault on our Haitian brothers and sisters.
And that's going to be at 7 p.m. This evening. I know I'll be listening. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And then this Saturday, October 12th, we're going to be at Ruby Community Center, 2 to 6 p.m., 1520 East Washington Street in Springfield, Illinois. So we're going to try to help organize the community with this energy, see if we can do something, lift ourselves up, get ready for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for survival. Yes, sir. African survival in the 21st century.
Yep. African survival in the 21st century, family. So that when you hear that, you know there's a program that you need to be at with an open mind, open ears, open heart, and let's get ready to deal, because these folks are planning for our demise. They want to take over this planet. And I have to admit, brother, that I felt really bad early on in my program today. You know, not that they bumped me off. I mean, that's happened to me before. You know, but things that you were saying and how pervasive these European Jews are and what was happening in Haiti and what Kenya has done to go over to Haiti and to fight those men, to fight those brothers and sisters, man. You know, because this leader, the Kenyan leadership is sellouts, you know. So we have a lot of work, as always, brothers and sisters, to do, you know. But I want to thank you, man. Go ahead and give me some closing remarks so we can get out of here.
Yeah, man, my closing remarks are, I love African people, brother. I love you because you're a man. You ain't no punk. You ain't no chump. You still standing up like a man. You stand up for things that black men stand up for.
I say.
And I look, you had my back when it looked, well, I don't forget like that. Well, you can ride with me anywhere, brother.
I say, I appreciate that, man. No, hey, I'm going to tell you, because I got there late. I didn't get there at the beginning, but I saw you at the mic. You were there. When I got there, there was one or two people at the least at the mic ahead of you. But then when you got on the mic and said what you said, and I didn't even know how it went down, but I do know that the Black Lives Matter movement, almost everybody there was, you know, part of that homosexual agenda, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they threatened you. They wanted to attack you. Oh, shit. Oh, hell no. You know, no, you're not going to do that, you know. And so I had to respond, man. I had to respond and help you out, my brother. That's for sure. I will always do that, especially a good, strong black man like yourself, man. We need more voices.
Well, look,
let me say,
Georgia, y'all got y'all a stand-up black man right there. Be more, I'm glad you invited me, introduced me to Brother Irvin, man, because yeah. another stand-up brother.
That's right.
We're going to stand up, brothers and sisters. Let's stand up.
Let's stand up. Ashe, Ashe. Thank you, my brother. Brother Ayo Kamathi, Irritated Genie. I can't wait to you back on the program the next time. Well, you'll be back on the program the next time, especially to announce what we're going to be doing here in the Atlanta area. You know, so we can drum that up.
Thank you. Thank you, Genie. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all I want to say.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. A BB for Hardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a wonderful day. Be back with you on Friday, family. Peace.